Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you here on this Wednesday to talk about the Stars' OT loss to the Florida Panthers on Tuesday night. What a surprise. Stars go to overtime. Stars lose in overtime. It's a tale as old as time, as they say. Stars lose 3-2 to the Florida Panthers in OT. They're now 2-12 in games that go past regulation, meaning in the overtime period or the shootout. Really, really rough record. And it's honestly the reason they're not in a playoff spot, and it may be the reason that they missed the playoffs this year. We're going to talk about the game, break it down. Of course, Jason Robertson, he had another good game. It's, you know, it's a day ending and why, right? Jason Robertson had another good game. He continues his Calder Trophy pursuit. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about the Stars and just where they're at and what's ahead. Important stretch coming up for the Stars. Six games against the bottom two teams in the Central Division. The Stars absolutely need to make a strong run here. Talk about all of that here on today's show. Today's show brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join me this week, Sunday, 4 o'clock. That's the plan. Sunday, 4 o'clock on the Locker Room app. To get in on the action, give me your thoughts here from me live. We can chat, we can talk Dallas Stars Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. Let's go ahead and dive right into this one. Stars lose in the OT period 3-2 to the Florida Panthers. Stars now 15-14-12 overall, 2-12 in games that go past regulation. Stars got down early in this one, a little over halfway through the first period. Alexander Barkov gets his 18th goal of the season. Gets the first goal for the Panthers, puts them on top 1-0. Barkov has been he's been Florida's best player this year. He's had a very, very nice year. He gets the scoring going early. Stars answered quickly, though, none other than Jason Robertson, the rookie. His 12th of the season, less than a minute later, makes it 1-1. Be even the rest of the first period. Go into the second period, Radko Gudas gets his first of the year for the Florida Panthers, 2 minutes 45 seconds in, makes it a 2-1 Florida lead. The Stars would answer 8 minutes 26 seconds in to the final period, the third period. Joe Pavelski, primary assist coming from Jason Robertson, no surprise there. Pavelski's 16th of the year, team high 16 goals, made it 2-2, went to the overtime period. The Stars probably should have won this one in regulation. They had some absolutely phenomenal chances. That was a big theme of the post-game discussion. The fact that the Stars had plenty of opportunities in regulation to win this one. Didn't get it done. Goes to OT, and then the Stars end up on a penalty kill in OT. Jamie Benn, the captain, takes a tripping minor with about a minute in the OT period, and with less than 30 seconds to go on the power play, 3 minutes into the period, Frank Vetrano gets his 14th of the season, a one-timer, makes it a 3-2 Florida win. The Stars lose because of the power play, penalty kill, that is, in OT. And you'll dive right into this game. I thought the Stars played fairly well. They've continued the stretch of playing well. I haven't seen them really play a bad game here in over a week. I think the Stars have played pretty well in this stretch. They're not getting necessarily the results that they want, but I don't think they've played a whole lot of bad hockey. In fact, I would argue that this is some of the better hockey we've seen them play night in, night out. They're not all winners, but they played better hockey. You go over the stretch right here. Stars lose in OT to Florida on Tuesday. They lost in the shootout to Nashville on Sunday. They beat Florida on Saturday, beat Chicago on Thursday. Lost basically a one-goal game in Chicago on Tuesday. It was an empty netter with less than a minute to go. Lost by one to Carolina that previous Sunday. Beat Carolina the day before that. Beat Nashville on the first day of the month. I mean, we're talking about it's a four-win month for the Stars in eight games it is, and they've picked up points in six of these eight games. And you know, the two that they didn't get points in were more or less ended in what were one-goal games. Carolina won, Dallas nothing on the 4th of April, and then Chicago 4-2, but it was a late empty netter that made it 4-2. It was a one-goal game for the final 10 minutes or so. So I would argue the Stars have played some of the better hockey they play this year, but they're still not quite getting the run of results they need to get into the playoff picture. And unfortunately, the Nashville Predators have stayed hot. Well, I think a lot of us, myself included, thought that at least somewhere along the way, Nashville would cool off. They would, you know, the 8-2 stretch they went over a 10-game period back in March and winning five in a row, whatever it was. I think a lot of us, myself included, were like, okay, they're going to taper off. The Stars just kind of have to find their groove, right? If they can just find a little bit of, you know, find something decent, a decent run of form, Nashville will taper off. They'll catch up. Nashville hasn't tapered off. They stayed hot. They beat Tampa Bay on the 13th. They beat Tampa Bay yesterday 7-2. 7-2, the Nashville Predators beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. It wasn't Andrei Vasilevskiy in goal. It was the backup, McElhaney. But still, I mean, just on 22 shots, 7-2, 69% of the faceoffs for the Predators. I mean, it's just the Stars can't catch a break when it comes to chasing down the Predators. And, you know, so you have to be introspective when you're Dallas and what's going wrong. And unfortunately right now, it's the overtime and shootouts that are killing Dallas. If they had won half of the games that they've lost in the overtime or shootout period, they'd be 1 point out of a playoff spot with three games in hand. That's how drastic it is. If they were 8-6 in games that went past regulation instead of 2-12, they're sitting a point out of the playoff spot, with three games in hand. That doesn't factor in that they've lost games to Nashville in OT and shootouts. So you take a point away from Nashville in one of the two of those games, they're in a playoff spot. I mean, it really is that close for the Dallas Stars, and it really is the difference right now. And there's a lot of differences, and there's a lot of factors for the Stars. They haven't been good. They were very, very bad in February. They have a mediocre February. They're probably close to a playoff spot. I mean, it really is that close, and there's a lot that's gone wrong. But the most tangible thing right now is if you were 7-7 instead of 2-12, you're 1 to 2 points out of a playoff spot. Depending on if you beat Nashville in one or two of those, you're in a playoff spot with three games in hand on Nashville rather than 7 points out with three games in hand. Talking about this game particularly, I thought the Stars looked pretty good. Outshot 31-26, but I thought the Stars had some of the better chances, especially late. The Stars absolutely had some. I mean, they just had some killer moments. Hit the post one time. Driedger had a very, very nice game, especially late on. Had an unbelievable save to deny the Stars by, I mean, we're talking like centimeters. I mean, it was just not their night. The problem is it's not their night way too often. Stars won 59% of the faceoffs. That's been something going their way here recently, as they've been much better when it comes to faceoffs here over the past couple of weeks, really in the month of April. 3-for-4 on the power penalty kill, not great. The one power play goal for Florida was obviously the 4-on-3 in OT. 3-0-for-3 on the power play, not a great night for the Stars power play. But overall, you know, the Stars played well enough to win. They played well enough to beat Florida for a second time in a week's span, less than a week's time, and they weren't able to get it done. And you know, there's a lot of ways to tackle it. There's a lot of things. You know, Roope Hintz didn't play. You know, that's a massive loss for the Dallas Stars team when he doesn't play. You know, they were having a cycle in. Mark Pesek was playing as a forward because it was, you know, Roope Hintz was a game time decision. So Mark Pence played as a forward, Mark Pesek played as a forward in this one. You know, and so there was some rotation there. You know, I thought Sammy Vatanen played pretty well. Rick Bonus was very complimentary. The Stars' new guy said that he played well, especially considering the circumstances. You know, looked like a guy that has some more to provide and can play a role for this team. Didn't skate any time shorthanded. Not necessarily a huge surprise, especially when you think about the fact that, you know, being shorthanded is such a needing to be, you know, fluid in the same rhythm as your teammates, and Vatanen had joined the team earlier Tuesday after signing on Monday. I guess he joined him probably late Monday night is when he got there. So you know, not shocking they went on the penalty kill, but Bonus was impressed with Vatanen. You know, obviously Klingberg picked up at a point. You know, he stayed, you know, relevant. Joe Pavelski with another goal. He stayed. He's continued to be one of the Stars' best players. Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz was out. Without Roope Hintz, Jason Robertson still with a goal and an assist. Another 2-point night for him. It's the same guys. And you know, Jamie Benn, you talk about his penalty in OT that ultimately cost the Stars. Jamie Benn had a good game, 2 assists. He was a +2. He was physical, skated 20 minutes. He won 59% of his faceoffs, on par with the Stars as a team. He played really well, and it was one mistake right at the end in OT that ended up being the decider. And it's just, it's every night it's something. And unfortunately, it was that was the case again. And more often than not, it seems to be something that goes wrong in the overtime period. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this game, where the Stars are at looking ahead. And then I didn't tease this before the show, but We do have an update on Alexander Radulov and Ben Bishop. Not a good one. We'll talk about them, the latest on their injuries here on the Locked On Stars podcast, what it will mean for them moving forward. We'll be right back here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we step aside, though, Locker Room, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app's free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and real insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Stars, that is, once a week, so you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every single day. It's the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You have a chance to chat with me, might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Stars podcast through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join me this week. I'll be hosting a Locker Room this week on Sunday. The plan is to do it Sunday, 4 o'clock. We weren't able to do it this past Sunday. Something came up. Potentially, we may have to move it again. This one maybe a little bit later in the day on Sunday. We'll have to keep an eye on that. The Stars do not play this coming Sunday, so we may do it a little bit later in the day on Sunday. But Sunday, for sure, we will have a Locker Room on Sunday. So make sure to go download the free Locker Room app now. Currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Kenneth_Nash19 to get notified when my room goes live. Don't want you to miss it. I know you won't want to miss out either. I'm planning to be live Sunday somewhere, planning for 4 o'clock, maybe a little bit later, but make sure to tune in. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the Dallas Stars. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. Also, want to talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. We've talked about it. They've got unbelievable flavors. They've got different types of bars. They're regular. They've got white chocolate. They've got crisps. They've got puff bars. They've got like a marshmallow consistency. They've got an unbelievable assortment of flavors. All of them taste great. There's going to be there's going to be numerous ones that you love if you try out Built Bar. They are great low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber bars that are covered in 100% chocolate. They taste like a candy bar, but if you're on the keto diet and you're trying to lose or maintain weight, these bars are great for that. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED15 gets you 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Real quick, let's talk about where the Stars are headed this week. Busy week upcoming for Dallas, but it's an important one. It's a stretch. It's a favorable stretch. And if things go really well, they could find themselves back in the playoff race as we head into the final weeks of the season. The Stars have four. Their next four games are at home. Their next six games all against the two bottom teams in the Central Division. The Columbus Blue Jackets come to Dallas on Thursday. You're probably listening to this maybe Wednesday night or Thursday. If you're hearing this Thursday morning, Columbus Blue Jackets coming to town to take on the Dallas Stars. We'll preview that matchup tomorrow. Then Columbus again on Saturday in Dallas. Then nothing on Sunday. Then a back-to-back Monday, Tuesday at home against Detroit. And then on the road against Detroit on Thursday and Saturday. That is an incredibly favorable stretch for the Dallas Stars. The Columbus Blue Jackets and Detroit Red Wings are at the bottom of the Central Division this season. Both teams were pretty active sellers at the deadline, especially Detroit, who moved on from guys like Anthony Mantha on Monday's deadline. So it's a bad Detroit team that has weakened. Columbus, 39 points in 44 games. They've been really, really poor this season. Detroit, 36 points in 44 games. They've been poor this season. And both these teams got worse. And so this is a favorable stretch. Six games, all games that the Dallas Stars should be winning. Six games, the Stars should be winning. It's not inconceivable. It's not unrealistic. I mean, maybe it's unrealistic with what the Stars are at, but it's not a shock when you talk about the Stars and where they're at and where they need to be to say that the Stars, out of these six games, 12 points available. The Stars need minimum 8. They need 10. And honestly, if there was ever a time to go on a six-game winning streak, this would be the time. The Stars are a better team. Even a beat-up Dallas Stars team is a better team than Columbus two nights and then Detroit four games in a row. There's no reason they should be losing more than one game over this six-game stretch. It would be the best stretch the Dallas Stars have put together since they opened up the season 4-0-0. But this is the time to do it for the Dallas Stars, because you look at their schedule, and we've talked about this a little bit, after this six-game stretch, it gets brutal for Dallas. They're home against Carolina on the 26th and 27th of April. Then they're at Tampa Bay on the 29th. They're at Nashville on the 1st. And let me rewind. They're home against Carolina on the 26th, 27th. Those are their final home games of the season. season. They've got 2 weeks straight out on the road past that point. After those games on Monday and Tuesday, the 26th, 27th of April, they're at Tampa Bay on Thursday, the 29th, at Nashville on Saturday, the 1st, at Florida on, this is May 3rd, at Tampa Bay on May 5th, at Tampa Bay on May 7th, at Chicago May 9th, and May 10th. That's a brutal stretch to end the season. So if you're the Dallas Stars and you look at where you are and you look at where you need to be after this six-game stretch against Columbus and Detroit, the Stars need to be within a couple of points of a playoff spot going into this final stretch. Because if you're still 5 to 7 points out, or heaven forbid you fall further out of a playoff spot over the stretch, there's no catching up. There is. The Stars need to be within 2 to 3 points minimum of Nashville to be able to have a chance at a playoff spot, because they've got 3 games in hand on Nashville. But after this stretch, it's a brutal run. You don't play either of these teams the rest of the season. You're playing only teams ahead of you: Carolina, Tampa Bay, Florida, Nashville, Chicago. That's all. That's it. And you have 2 more home games after this stretch, and then the rest of your season is on the road. And so you're playing against Nashville, you're playing against Tampa, you're playing against Florida, you're playing against Chicago, who will, by the way, maybe not Chicago at the end of the season. Nashville obviously is playing for a playoff spot. They gotta beat you to make sure they hold on the playoff spot. Florida, Tampa Bay, Carolina, those teams are battling for seeding. Those are important seeding positions. The 1 and 2 spots in this division still very much up for grabs between those 3 teams. So these teams are all playing for something. Going on the road, you do not want to be trying to chase down a 4 or 5 point gap after the 6-game stretch in the last week of April and in the games in May. You don't want to be doing that. You want to be in a playoff spot or within a couple of points after the 6-game stretch by the time you go on that brutal run, because even then I don't think it's a guarantee. Even if they're in a playoff spot, even if they're a point or two ahead of Nashville after the stretch, I don't think it's a guarantee they can hold on to it, just because of how brutal that end of the season is. So the Stars have to make a run now if they're going to make one. And it's not an easy stretch for Nashville coming up either. Nashville's been very, very good. Don't take anything away from Nashville. They've been very good recently. But they're at Carolina tomorrow, Thursday. They're at Carolina Saturday. Home against Chicago on the 19th, Monday the 19th. At Chicago on the 21st. At Chicago on the 23rd. Home against Florida on the 26th, 27th. So that stretch that includes the Stars against Hurricanes on the 26th, 27th, Dallas takes on Columbus twice, Detroit 4 times, Carolina twice. Nashville takes on Carolina twice, Chicago 3 times, Florida twice. That is a tougher stretch. Now Chicago is not going to be probably as good as they were earlier in the season. They've made some moves to kind of sell off, rebuild, even though they're ahead of the Dallas in the standings. More or less, they're the 6th team in this division right now. It's really, I think, between the Stars and the Predators for a playoff spot. But in the standings, Chicago's still in it. So, I mean, they're still going to compete. They're still going to go out and play hard. So, you know, would Nashville, you know, only win 1 or 2 of these games? Probably not, but I don't think it's inconceivable to see them walk away with maybe go 3 and 4 in this stretch, and that's an opening, right? They pick up 3 points or 6 points out of this stretch. The Stars can pick up, you know, 10. Say they win 10 of, you know, 5 of 6. Now you're down to a 3-point gap as you head into the final couple weeks of the season. Put some pressure on Nashville. That's what it is for the Stars at this point. That's the name of the game, unfortunately, is putting pressure on Nashville, trying to create a situation where Nashville's looking over their shoulder at you in the standings, and they slip up and they make a mistake. So that's where the Stars have to be at. This stretch is favorable for them to go on a run. They need to win. Probably they need to win 5. I think there's no reason we can't ask them to win 5 of these next 6 games. And the good news is you might get Tyler Seguin back. You might get Tyler Seguin back after the stretch, maybe going into those games against Carolina and Tampa Bay and so on and so forth. We'll talk about that around the corner, because you may get Tyler Seguin back, but you're not getting Ben Bishop. You're not getting Alexander Radulov. Late news coming out on them here today. We'll talk about that right around the corner here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we do, Bet Online's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets is free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device today to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit with promo code Locked On. Promo code Locked On, 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Talk about the Dallas Stars, and unfortunately, there's some more bad news coming down the pipeline for Dallas here today. News coming out in a statement from the Stars, Jim Nill and the Dallas Stars, that Alexander Radulov and Ben Bishop will not return this season. This comes not long, really a couple of days. It really is a couple of days after we got word that Ben Bishop and Tyler Seguin might could return as soon as, you know, 2 weeks, couple weeks away from returning. Ben Bishop had been doing some on ice stuff, looked positive. That was Monday that we heard that. Comes just a few days later. Ben Bishop will not return this season. Neither will Alexander Radulov. Both players will be ready, should be ready to go for the start of next season, which is good news for Dallas. But the Stars are going to be missing two of their most important players. Obviously, the return of Ben Bishop and Alexander Radulov, coupled with return of Tyler Seguin, was going to be kind of the catalyst people were hoping to get this team over the hump, if they could close the gap in this favorable stretch and going through the end run on the road. You get some of these really crucial guys back, get them in the lineup, maybe that makes a difference. Not going to get two of those three. Ben Bishop is going to continue. This is Jim Nill talking, and this is a piece from Mike Kaika, DallasStars.com. Jim Nill said that Ben Bishop will continue to rehab from his offseason knee injury, and the hope is that he will be ready to go for the 2021-2022 season. With regards to Alexander Radulov, he's played in 11 games this year, but has missed, obviously, a lot of time recently, came back after a long-term injury, played in a couple games, then went back up. He's going to have surgery to repair a core muscle injury. Their hope is that he will be ready to go for 2021-22 as well. You look at this, and I talked about this, and I kind of floated this idea out there. Now, it happened a little bit quicker than I was hoping, I think. But we talked about that the Stars are in a position, right, where they have to kind of weigh up risk-reward with regards to next season. Because of how poorly things are going right now, they are very much on the outside looking in. It does not look optimistic when you talk about the Stars in a potential playoff spot. A lot would have to go right from this point on. The Stars would have to catch fire a little bit. Nashville would have to drop off considerably, and the Stars would have to kind of reverse course from what they've been pretty much most of the year to get into a playoff spot. So you have to weigh the risk-reward between this year and next year, getting guys back, getting them in the lineup this year, playing hurt maybe to make a run now, or do you a run that even in the end could be unsuccessful, or do you rest them, get them healthy for next year and make one more run at this, especially when you talk about the Stars window. Current window probably closes after next season. The Stars, I think, have weighed this up a little bit. You talk about Ben Bishop. This is all me thinking and in my opinions. I have no evidence or information to back this up, so take it for what you think it's worth. But I think the fact that Anton Dobin has been very, very good recently, after a sluggish, you know, early and middle part of the season, these past couple of weeks, Anton Dobin has looked more like the Anton Dobin we expected. I think that, coupled with the fact that Jake Oettinger has still been very good this year, have made it a little bit easier for the Stars to kind of go, let's rest Ben Bishop, get him back healthy, and reevaluate then. Now, where it doesn't make it easier is this offseason, when you're talking about goalie situation. The Stars I still think they have to part ways with one of Ben Bishop or Anton Dobin this offseason to make room for Jake Oettinger. Not seeing Ben Bishop this year at all does not make that an easier decision, but what it does do is ensures that Ben Bishop is ready to go for next year if he's the guy that's still around. I think that's still probably the most likely circumstance. If he's the guy with Jake Oettinger, 100% healthy Ben Bishop, much, much better than risking him this year. And is it going to be, you know, with how Anton Dobin's playing, is Ben Bishop for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe, if you don't make the playoffs, is he going to be the difference maker, right? Is it worth it? Talk about Alexander Radulov. It sounds like his injury was probably worse than we had originally thought the first time around. We heard that he was going to be kind of a Roope Hintz situation where he's going to be in and out of the lineup. You know, he's going to be a game-time decision. Roope Hintz pretty much has been a game-time decision every night. He didn't play in their most recent game against Florida, but Alexander Radulov came back, played a couple of games, then has not returned since. And so it sounds like that was a more significant injury, and he's going to have surgery to repair it. Same thing. Bring back Alexander Radulov, as good as he's been this year and as big of a difference maker as he's been this year, was it worth the risk-reward bringing him back for maybe 3 weeks, risk, you know, aggravating that injury further, making it a more serious injury. Was it worth doing that? Probably not from the Stars' point of view. So they have him, he and the Stars elect for him to go ahead and have surgery, start rehabbing, get ready for next year. That being said, sounds like Tyler Seguin is still on course at this point to return. We heard 2 weeks, a couple of weeks away on Monday. A lot of people, myself involved in that, included as well, think that maybe the two home games against Carolina would be an optimal time for Seguin to return before the Stars go on that road stretch to end the year. If he's healthy, ready to go, that may be a good time to get him back in the lineup. It's a back-to-back too, so maybe you play him one game, you don't play him the other, see how he reacts to being on the ice. But same thing, if after next week, after the six-game stretch, the Stars are still 6, 5, 6, 7 points out of a playoff spot, I would fully expect for the Stars to say that Tyler Seguin's just going to finish the season rehabbing and getting ready for next year, not going to make a return to the lineup. We'll have to see, though. Getting him back would be a huge boost, and I think if the Stars are in a playoff spot or close to a playoff spot, I think he's a guy who can make a difference in a 2 or 3 week stretch and maybe get you an extra win here or there, because I think the Stars, part of their problem is they don't have a lot of options. I think options, scoring options, creativity options, I think are a big deal. And so for Dallas to get Seguin back, I think would be beneficial. But that's going to do it all for this episode. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the Stars and Blue Jackets' next two games for Dallas against Columbus at home. Preview those games, get you the latest with regards to players ahead of those games. We'll do that tomorrow. Until then, follow us at Locked On Stars on Twitter, at my personal account at Kenneth_Nash19. Follow on Locker Room at Kenneth_Nash19, same as my Twitter account, to make sure that you are make sure that you're notified when we go live, jump into those locker room discussions, and make sure to follow us wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever it is. Make sure we show up in your feed every single day. That's going to do all for this one, though. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your Wednesday, Thursday, whenever you're listening to this episode. We'll be back to talk to you soon, but until then, stay safe and have a good one.
You're Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.